when you hear a show tune from the Great White Way, does a shiver run through ya? Well, we're giving them to ya. Sing hallelujah and shout hooray. Come on along and listen to Broadway to Main Street.
Hear my voice where you are. Take a train, steal a car, hop a freight, grab a star. Come back to me. Catch a plane, catch a breeze, on your hands, on your knees, swim or fly, only please come back to me. On a mule, in a jet, with your hair in a net, in a towel wring wet, I don't care, this is where you should be. From the hills, from the shore, ride the wind to my door, turn the highway to dust, break the law if you must, move the world only just, come back to me. Blast your hide, hear me call, must I fight, City Hall, here and now, damn it all, come back to me. What on earth must I do, scream and yell, till I'm blue, curse your soul, when will you come back to me? Have you gone to the moon? Or the corner saloon, and to rap and to roon, mademoiselle, where in hell can you be? In a crate, in a trunk, on a horse, on a drunk, in a Rolls or a van, wrapped in mink or saran, any way that you can, come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me.
Well, dear listeners, thank you for coming back to Broadway to Main Street every Sunday at 3 o'clock. This is your host, Larry Maslon, here on 88.3 WLIWFM, Long Island's only singular, one of a kind, idiosyncratic, diamond in the rough NPR station. Well, that golden voice is inimitable, somewhat inimitable. One of the great voices of the American theater. That is, of course, John Cullum, who we are celebrating today in an entire episode devoted to his career, because this miraculous musical master is doing a one-person show via streaming that you can watch called John Cullum, An Accidental Life. Maybe you read an article about it in the New York Times. And it's this whole panorama of his career as only he could present it. And if you're interested, you go to vineyardtheater.org. I'll say that again, Vineyard Theater, T-H-E-A-T-R-E.org, and you can download it and stream it and watch this extraordinary 90 minutes with John Cullum. And Mr. Cullum was gracious enough to spend some time with me over Zoom answering several of my esoteric questions. So here we are. We're going to celebrate his career from Camelot all the way up to the present. And my first question was about his debut in a musical, which was in fact Camelot 1960, where he not only played Sir Dinadan opposite Julie Andrews, but understudied Richard Burton. And Richard Burton, King Arthur, obviously in Camelot, became a role model for him throughout his career. And I asked him a little bit about how Richard Burton had influenced not only his career, but their friendship.
I had a tremendous ego, which I kept under control and hidden from most people. Richard was the opposite. He exhibited all his characteristics, good or bad, to whenever he felt like it. He was totally fearless in that sense. And so I didn't relate to Richard on that level, but the level of concentration and attention to detail and presentation of one's character that one was playing, all of those things I emulated or tried to copy or just instinctively picked up from Richard, and they helped me in many ways.
Sir Lionel, do you recall the other night that I distinctly said you might serve as my escort at the next town fair? Well, I'm afraid there's someone who I must invite in place of you, someone who plainly is beyond compare. That Frenchman's power is more tremendous than I have ever seen anywhere. And when a man is that stupendous, he by right should take me to the fair.
Your Majesty, let me tilt with him and smite him. Don't refuse me so abruptly, I implore. Oh, give me the opportunity to fight him, and Gaul will be divided once more.
You will bash and thrash him?
I'll smash and mash him.
You'll give him trouble?
He will be rubble.
A mighty whack.
His skull will crack.
Well, then you may take me to the fair if you do all the things you promise. In fact, my heart would break should you not take me to the fair. Sir Sagramore, I have some rather painful news relative to the subject who's to be beside me at the next court ball. You were the chosen one, I know, but as tradition it should go to the unquestioned champion in the hall. And I'm convinced that splendid Frenchman can easily conquer one and all. And besting all our local henchmen, he should sit beside me at the ball.
I beg of you, ma'am, withhold your invitation. I swear to you this challenge will be met. And when I've finished up the operation, I'll serve him to your highness en brochette.
You'll pierce right through him.
I'll barbecue him.
A wicked thrust.
'Twill be dust to dust.
From fore to aft.
He'll feel a draught.
Well then, you may sit by me at the ball if you demolish him in battle. In fact, I know I'd cry were you not by me at the ball. Sir Dinadan, didn't I promise that you may guide me to London on the day that I go up to judge the cattle show? As it is quite a nasty ride, there must be someone at my side who'll be defending me from beast and foe. So when I choose whom I prefer go, I take the strongest knight I know. And young Dulac seems strongest ergo, he should take me to the cattle show.
Your Majesty can't believe this blustering prattle. Let him prove it with a sword or lance instead. I promise you when I've done this gory battle, his shoulders will be lonesome for his head.
You'll disconnect him.
I'll vivisect him.
You'll open wide him.
I'll subdivide him.
Oh, dear, 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 dear. Then you may guide me to the show if you can carry out your program. In fact, I'd grieve inside should you not guide me to the show.
Milady, we shall put
turn into that Gallic bag of noise and nerve. When we do all that we intend to, you'll be a plate of French order.
I do applaud your noble goals. Now let us see if you achieve them. And if you do, then you will be the three who will go to the ball, to the show.
John Cullum went to eventually star over the title in On a Clear Day You Can See Forever in 1965. He was brought in at the last minute, story he tells you about in his one-man show, to replace Louis Jourdain. But I asked him because On a Clear Day is one of the great pop hits of the 1960s. It was covered by everyone, maybe one of the last great Broadway tunes to be covered by popular recording artists. Why he didn't record an album of hits himself the way, say, Robert Goulet did or Judy Holliday did. And this was his response. And then he segues into a little story about his leading lady in On a Clear Day, Barbara Harris. So here is Mr. Cullum himself.
It occurred to me that other people wanted or would have done that. And it was a good idea. But I was so involved in things that, you look at my career, and there's plenty of actors of my caliber who have done many more shows than I have. But my shows, five or six of them, lasted for 2 or 3 years. And there was time in between, but that's a long period of time. And I didn't really have the inclination or time to do anything on my own, recording stuff. But in fact, I remember going to an affair, and Barbara had to go with me. It was a publicist. And I said, I'm going to get a cab and get out here. Would you like me to get a cab for you, Barbara? And she said, I'll share a cab with you. And we went out, and I hailed a cab. And we were in it kind of argumentative mood and discussing something. I don't know what the hell it was. But as she got in the car and she turned around and said, when are you going to get rid of that phony Southern accent?
Could anyone among us have an inkling or a clue what magic feats of wizardry and voodoo you can do? And who would ever guess what powers you possess? And who would have the sense to change his views and start to mind his ESPs and cues? For who would ever dream of hearing phones before they ring, or ordering the earth to send you up a little spring, or finding you've been crowned the queen of lost and found? And who would not be stunned to see you prove there's more to us than surgeons can remove? So much more than we ever knew, so much more were we born to do. Should you draw back the curtain, this I am certain, you'll be impressed with you. On a clear day, rise and look around you, and you'll see who on a clear day, how it will astound you that the glow of your being outshines every star you feel part of, every mountain, sea and shore. You can hear from far and near a world you've never heard before. And on a clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever from far and near, a world you've never heard before. And on a clear day, on that clear day, you can see forever and ever and ever and ever.
One of the great John Cullum vehicles was a TV version of Androcles and the Lion with a score of music and lyrics by Richard Rodgers. And I asked him about his wonderful leading lady in that particular show, Inga Swenson, one of my favorites. And this is what John Cullum responded with.
She was my favorite to work with. She was so lovely. And we had such a warm relationship, and maybe it was a little, it was almost hot, but we won't talk about that. But Inga was so gorgeous, and in her youth, she became a character actor. Much too soon, I think. But I enjoy working with her.
Lavinia, do Christians know how to love?
It's what they do best, Captain. They even love their enemies.
Is that easy?
Very easy, Captain, when they're as handsome as you.
You're laughing at me again, Lavinia.
At you, Captain. Impossible.
Then you're flirting with me, which is even worse.
Oh, no, Captain. I never flirt with strangers.
We're not exactly strangers, Lavinia. We've been traveling together on this road for 3 days and nights.
Nevertheless, if strangers are persons who know nothing of one another, then don't you agree that you and I are more surely strangers now than when we met?
I'm a stranger to you, I know. You're a stranger to me, and so if there's something better than being strangers, that's the way to go. As a start, we could really try to look out with a kindly eye and regard each other with friendly glances and a friendly sigh. When you're standing here with your face so near, I can see you clearly. Stumble, I'll break the fall. If you run to me when I call, then we'll find we never were really strangers after all.
Lavinia, listen to me. The men in that audience tomorrow will come to the Colosseum to satisfy one vile and horrible passion. The lust and excitement of seeing a beautiful woman torn, shrieking, limb from limb.
They cannot violate my soul, Captain. Only I can do that by sacrificing to false gods.
And so you would die.
Don't think that will be easy. Our faith makes life far stronger and more wonderful than when we walked in darkness. A martyr's agony is as bitter as his triumph is glorious.
A martyr's a fool, Lavinia. Your death will prove nothing at all.
Then why kill me?
Christian prisoners are not allowed to draw the Emperor's officers into arguments and ask questions for which military regulations provide no answer.
Shame on you, Captain.
Sense on Diana's altar, Lavinia, that's all. If you can't do it out of conviction, at least do so as a matter of good taste, to avoid shocking the sensitivities of your fellow citizens.
Oh, you said they were looking forward to it.
Not all of them, Lavinia. Not all.
Why, Captain?
I'm a stranger to you, I know.
You're a stranger to me, and so if there's something better than being strangers,
that's the way to go.
You could say, if you really try, all the things that your looks imply. Is it more than merely some hopeful glances and a hopeful song?
When you're standing face so near,
I can see you clearly growing dearer.
Dear, if you stumble, I'll break the fall.
If I run to you when you call, then we'll find we never were really strangers.
That was the fantastic Strangers from Andrew Cleese and the Lion, John Cullum and Inga Swenson. Well, many people knew Cullum first from the film version of 1776, where he plays Edward Rutledge, the representative from South Carolina, who has this magnificent song in the second part of the show. He did not play it originally on stage. He said he sort of turned it down and then eventually came in and got the role as a replacement, but he got to play it in the film. And he talks about this magnificent song, which is the high watermark dramatically in the second part of the show, Molasses to Rum from 1776.
What can you say about that song? It's extraordinary, and it's an aria, really. And it's broken into three different parts, as I recall. And you have to be in top shape when you sing that song. When I auditioned for them, when I had to do it for the movie, usually it's lip sung. But Peter Hunt wanted some of it done live on stage and some of it pre-recorded. So I had to sing the big parts of the number and I had to play the scene before it, and to end it all live on camera. In other words, they were using my recording as I did it. It was not lip-sync. And I remember after the first recording, or the first try of the theater, Peter came to me and said, John, that was wonderful, but we had a problem with the audio. Could you mind doing it again? I said, fine. So we did it again. And he came to me and said, John, I apologize, but there was a problem with the lights. And it's a big number. Could you do it again? Oh, sure. I don't mind. And we did it 4 times. And he came to me after the fourth performance and said, John, I really am sorry, but we have to do it one more time. And I said, well, I hope it's one more time, because I've only got one gene left. And that's it. And if you listen to the recording closely, you can hear me. And I crack on the loops. It sounds good. And in fact, the crack sounds good. But it wasn't intended. I was worn out by that time. Wow. But that's the recording they use.
Lasses to rum, to slurs. Oh, what a beautiful waltz. You dance with us, we dance with you, in molasses and rum and slurs. Who sail the ships out of Boston, laden with Bibles and rum? Who drinks a toast to the ivory coast? Hail Africa, the slavers have come. New England with Bibles and rum. Then it's off with the rum and the Bibles. Take on the slaves, clink, clink. Then hail and farewell to the smell of the African coast. Molasses to rum, to slaves. Tisn't models, tis money that saves. Shall we dance to the sound of the profitable pound in molasses and rum and slaves? Who'll sail the ships out of Guinea, laden with Bibles and slaves? 'Tis Boston can boast to the West Indies coast, Jamaica, we brown watch it raves, Antigua, Barbados, we brown Bibles and slaves.
Gentlemen, you mustn't think that Northern friends see our black slaves as merely figures in a ledger. Oh, no. They see them as figures on a block. Look at the faces at the auctions, gentlemen. White faces on African wharves. Seafaring faces. New England faces. Put them in the ships. Cram them in the ships. Stop them in the ships. Hurry, gentlemen. Let the auction begin. Yahabaconda! Gentlemen, you hear? That's the cry of the auctioneer. Yahabaconda! Slave, gentlemen! Black gold! Living gold! Gold from Angola! Guinea, Guinea, Guinea! Blackbirds for sale, Ashanti, Imo, 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 Blackbirds for sale, and all them, all of them, but don't finger them, they're prime,
love of God, Mr. Rutledge, please.
Molasses to rum to slaves who sail the ships back to Boston laden with gold, see it gleam. Fortunes are made in the triangle trade. Hail slavery, the New England dream. Mr. Adams, I give you a toast. Hail Boston. Hail Charleston. Who stinketh the most?
What a fantastic rendition of that great number from 1776. This is Larry Maslon, your host for Broadway to Main Street here on 88.3 FM. And I want to celebrate John Cullum because he has a one-man show that you can stream virtually, aren't we all lucky, called John Cullum, An Accidental Life. And you can get that if you go to vineyardtheater.org. No theater fan would ever want to miss this. I'm telling you. It's something else. Cullum went on to win his first Tony Award as Best Actor in a Musical with Shenandoah, a show that ran, I think, close to 1,000 performances, where he plays a Southern patriarch trying to fight the forces of the Civil War that will drive his family apart. And I found his role as Charlie Anderson somewhat Shakespearean in its depth and complexity. And I asked him how he came so naturally to this kind of larger than life expression of thought and language.
It is the fact that I was brought up on the King James Version of the Bible, translated at the same time that Will Shakespeare was writing his great plays. And if you could read the Bible, the King James Version, you could do pretty well with Shakespeare.
You know, Martha, it's getting harder and harder to find someone to talk to. Virginia's gone crazy, Martha. Everybody's screaming states' rights, and war, and the family. Well, we're trying awful hard to stay out of it. Sooner or later, they'll be calling me a traitor. Your friends, Martha, mine. But they'll never take our sons to face those Yankee guns and be targets in a long gray line.
They'll say we may live here in Virginia and we owe the Commonwealth a thing or two.
Well, if anyone here owes anyone here, Virginia should be owing me and you.
Remember how it used to be when it was only you and me, Martha. Remember when we didn't know how to make potatoes grow back 100 years ago, Martha. We settled in a corner of the Shenandoah Valley and we started on a penny and a crumb. You were sweet as clover and I was green all over, everywhere except in my thumb. I think of how it used to be, the way we struggled, Martha, you and me. I took an axe and I chopped as a clearing.
hung as a door on a maple frame, raised up a roof, got us out of the weather. Then came Jacob and James. Jacob and James and April rains and frost and snow and growing pains. You brought me drink and I planted an acre. Sowed us the seeds we were counting on. Seems we could grow more than beans by the acre. Welcome, Nathan and John, Jacob and James, Nathan and John. Blessed are those heaven smiles upon. Root out the weeds, the stumps and the rocks. Hook up the mule and the plow. Got a Jenny and a Henry Anderson now. An apple tree with a fruited bough. A loving wife with child again. And I'm thinking I should sleep with a cow. Martha, yonder in the barn with the cow. Now send for the duck. No, I best go and bring him. Pour me a drink, and I'll drink for joy. Get off the denim, roll up the gingham. Name him Robert, he's a boy. Jacob and James, Nathan and John, Jenny and Henry, and Robert, and then you were gone, Martha. And me, I got 28 years in this farm. My blood, my sweat, and my tears in this farm. And no one's gonna come along and say that I owe any part, not the tiniest part, to anyone in any single way. This farm don't belong to Virginia. My sons bleed, but not for the South. This land here is Anderson land, by the strength of my hand and the sweat on my brow. For as long
End of Act One to Shenandoah, John Cullum. My goodness. Well, my conversation with John Cullum went on to my favorite musical, which is On the 20th Century, where he played the crazed, megalomaniacal, theatrical entrepreneur Oscar Jaffe. And he had this amazing opening number, which was so completely outrageous. And I asked him how he developed it. He talked in that he initially worked with director Hal Prince and choreographer Larry Fuller, but then went quite on his own.
I was left pretty much to myself, and Larry would come in and I would fumble around, and he would leave quickly and go back to working with Hal on the big numbers. So I had to stage the numbers myself. And I remember I had two big numbers. And I staged one, and I said to my wife, I'm having trouble with a rise again. It's got me climbing the wall. And she said, well, why don't you do that? And I said, what are you talking about? If I climb the wall, I'll end up on on my back or on my face on the floor. And she said, well, crawl on the floor. And I said, are you kidding? And she said, try it. So that opened up the possibilities, and I could try any damn thing I wanted, and I did. I climbed the wall, I crawled on the floor, I did part of the number on my back, upside down, facing the audience with a microphone in my hand. I jumped up and did all the gestures, and I remember coming off the floor and saying, I do escape tricks better than Houdini did in the Black of my cul-de-sac. Do like rack and fall? No, I attack. And that's the way the show went.
Traitors! Look at the two of you, Judas Iscariot and his sister Sue. You think I'm finished? They all think I'm finished. Every time they think I'm through, I rise again, full size again, and give those doubting Thomases a walloping surprise again. I sneer at them, I jeer at them, I thumb my nose and bite my thumb and bear my royal rear at them with my back up against the wall, with the wolves yapping at my heels, with the noose tightening round my neck. That's the time I know how really living feels, with the wall up against my back, with the water rising to my chin, chained and bound tight inside a sack. That's the plight that I'm delighted in, for I have powers like Aladdin's genie did. I do escape tricks better than Houdini did. In the black of my cul-de-sac, do I crack and fall? No! I attack with my back up against the wall.
Listen, boss, you gotta use your brain. Everyone you owe will meet the train.
I shine again. All is mine again. A fighter rising from the canvas at the count of nine.
The count is ten. You're out. The drums of doom are knocking. Your theater and your offices, the bankers will be locking.
I slip at them, spray flipped at them. I'll face those grim Goliaths with my slingshot, and I'll hit at them with my back up against the wall. Angry birds pecking with their beaks, or submerged, sealed inside a tomb. That challenge brings the roses to my cheeks. So rally round me, my musketeering men. We'll turn that raging lynch mob into cheering men. From the false reports of my demise, like the phoenix right before their eyes, with my back up against the wall, I rise again. I rise again.
Well, John Cullum went on to win a Tony Award for Best Actor in a Musical for On the 20th Century as well, and went on to do a TV series, many plays on Broadway, several musicals, including The Scottsboro Boys, Waitress, and Urinetown, which we'll hear in a moment. But I asked him if there was ever a role that got away from him, and to my surprise, he said the one I always dreamed he would play, and that is Sweeney Todd.
I did the first reading of Sweeney. And I believed for Hal Prince when he was just wanting to hear it done. And Larry Guitard played the second part in that show. And then I got a show that, and I got a call from Hal Prince, and he said, "John, I wanted you to consider taking over the role for Larry Guitar, for Len Carrion. But your wife tells me that you don't like the show." And I had, in a moment of drunken, sour grapes, I had commented that I didn't really care for that role. I didn't want it anyway. And I was floored. I couldn't come up with a quick answer to Hal Prince. And so I lost the opportunity of replacing Lynn Carey.
Wow.
Because of stupidity on my part.
Well, if you love John Colum and you love the American musical, you will not want to miss John Colum and Accidental Life, which you can stream at vineyardtheater.org. It's 90 minutes of pure theatrical magic. And I spent many hours of theatrical magic watching John Colum or listening to him on various cast albums. And the greatest for me was seeing the Boston out-of-town tryout of On the 20th Century, where he sings as the 11 o'clock number, The Legacy. So I asked Mr. Colum about his own thoughts about his own theatrical legacy, and I must thank him for a great time spent both in the theater and here on Broadway to Main Street.
Oh, my goodness. I'll fade into the past. I've been lucky if anybody remembers me for 10 years. But they'll remember the shows, and they'll have to see me, and so I'll live through the records that I've done, and that pleases me. That's enough for me.
Well. I'll say, as a 20-year-old who sat in the mezzanine at the Colonial Theater in Boston and saw you play Oscar Jaffe, that is 3 hours I will remember for the rest of my life. I guarantee you.
There you go. See, do you remember my performance or the show?
You.
Oh.
Unforgettable. Unforgettable. Many happy hours in the theater you've given all of us.
Well, thank you, Lawrence. I wish that I'd been more succinct and pointed in my retorts to your questions, but you were a genteel host, and I enjoyed it very much.
You may feel bad for a while, but it's better far this way, for I am much too good a showman to dwindle like a snowman melting down one sunny day. My office once overflowed with celebrities galore. I ruled Broadway like a king, but now what lies in store? Oh, boys, can't you see it? Oh, God, I can see a lonely, shuffling figure haunting Schubert Alley. It's Crazy Oscar, hear them cry. Get Officer O'Malley. I meant no harm. Please help me up.
Where are my pencils? Where are my cup? Oh, thank you, lad. I'll move along. Pencils! Pencils! Who'll buy my pencils?
Crazy Oscar song! You wouldn't want to see me that way. Boys, I know when I've had my day. My story ends, the drama's through. I leave my worldly possessions to you. To you I leave my cape and my fedora. To you I leave my mustache wax. To you I leave an ostrich fan from Floridora. To you I leave my unpaid income tax. To you I leave my bust of Henry Irving. To you I leave my headache pills. To you my set of Theodore Dreiser, my portrait of the Kaiser, and a 10-foot stack of unpaid bills. And when you hear a lonely whistle blowing some future time while riding through the night, could be that whistle is your dear departed Oscar calling, boys, let's meet at Luke's house for a bite. To you I leave my Japanese kimono. To you I leave my cane and spats. To you I leave a worn-out record of Ramona. To you I leave my gravy-stained cravat. To you I leave my letters to the critics. To you I leave a large false nose. To you my bowl of red wax cherries, a wig of Ellen Terry's, and some ticket stubs from Amy's Irish Rose. Boys, dry your eyes. I don't want to see you weeping. I want smiles and pride in the memories of your association with me. And someday, in the future, when you're feeling low, I want you to go to your closet, and when you open that closet door, take out my cape and take out my fedora and put them on and think of me and call to mind my charismatic aura and the legacy I left to him.
Well, where is the time all gone to? This is Larry Maslon here at Broadway to Main Street. Let's catch up next Sunday at 3.
There's so much more embracing still to be done, but time is racing. Oh, well, we'll catch up some other time.